Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
I invite you this morning to take your Bibles if you have them. If you don't, they're should be one there in front of you in the back of the pew, but to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be covering verses 8 to 20 this morning, but starting in verse 8, Luke chapter 2. It's Christmas Day, of course. The anticipation is over. It's finally here, and with the arrival of Christmas Day comes, of course, present opening time. I'm not sure if you have opened your presents already or if that's coming later today, but it's always a great time, and something that I absolutely love about present opening time is the sheer joy of children. They often can't sleep at night because they're thinking about the presents. They even wake up early and often wake their parents up early at the crack of dawn because of their excitement. I found that our kids, that we can't even have like a slow morning eating your breakfast because it's like they want to get to the presents. And when you finally begin opening the presents, children are on the edge of their seats with eagerness. They're unable to wait patiently for their turn to open their presents. Even when someone else is opening a present, they're wondering when their next one will be. And then once they open their own present, they're wondering, when is the next one going to come around? Presents bring joy, and this morning we are going to unwrap a present together, you could say. And it may not have all that pretty wrapping paper on it, but it is the best present that you open this Christmas. You may have thought that your best present was already opened, or you may have thought that your best present is still to come to be opened. But it's here and it's now, and as we unwrap this present together, may it bring us renewed joy, not only because of the amazing gift, but because of the amazing giver. We may not be literally on the edge of our seats, but we'll be talking about something that brings us eternal joy and everlasting happiness. After telling of the birth of Jesus, we read, starting in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, what happens next. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So here we see some shepherds who experience something amazing. They're just going about their business, and an angel suddenly appears to them and gives them world-altering news. And in this news, God was actually sharing with them the best present ever. And really, that's what we see first, is the present, a much-needed Savior. If you think about it, why are presents so impactful to us? Why do we enjoy them so much? I'm sure there's multiple reasons, but a couple are these. First, presents and gifts demonstrate love from the giver. They're a way that someone shows us love by taking the time to think about us, take the time to think about what would we like, sacrificing their time and money to do so. And so when we receive a present, it's actually we're seeing love in action. But what else makes them impactful? Well, often a present is something that is needful or useful, right? They supply us with something that is lacking, or they make life easier, or things like that. And thirdly, a gift is impactful because it's free. It's unmerited. Right? We do nothing to receive the gift, or if we do something to receive the gift, it's no longer a gift, is it? It's a wage, right? It touches our heart because someone sacrificed to give us something. We did nothing to merit it. They gave, we only received, right? And so when we think about the gift of Jesus, we realize that that's why, in many ways, that's why the gift of Jesus is so impactful for us, is it shows us love, it gives us what we need, a Savior, and what? It's free. It's unmerited. That's a present. For 400 years, there was silence between Malachi and when the Savior came. And now the Savior's arrival was finally announced to the people. It may have been announced, of course, to Mary and Joseph and to Elizabeth and Zechariah. But now it's announced so that it spread, right? The Lord has visited his people. He even sent an angel to bring this good news so that they know what is going on, right? He explains what is going on. And so if you think about it, isn't this amazing that God speaks to us? He doesn't just let us sit in ignorance, right? He takes steps to speak to us through his word. He reveals much about himself and about his plan of salvation. And here we see he not only spoke, but he came to us in Jesus Christ. Right? It's one thing for someone to call you up and talk to you. That, of course, shows love. But it's another when they take the time to visit you, to be with you. And in this, we see the love of God on full display. And so no matter how much love you feel from your family today on Christmas, you are actually more loved by the Lord. No matter how little love you feel from your family this Christmas, you are loved by the Creator and Lord of all. He wants us to know him. He wants us to experience life and deliverance out of sin and death. And he didn't just come to the high and elite, but he came to the common shepherd. And this shows us that salvation is available to all. It doesn't just belong to the cultural elites alone, but is available to all who would turn in faith. No matter what your background or your social status or ethnicity, Christmas is a continual reminder that God has visited us through his Son. Though we are under darkness and death, Christ came to save. We're even told that in this story, the glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds and they're filled with fear. And this is often what you see in Scripture, is that when this bright light is God's glory, people are afraid. They fall down often because God's glory is so amazing. They're immediately filled with fear. But the angels say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." You see what they're saying? This visitation is not for judgment. This visitation is for salvation. It's not to bring bad news, it's to bring good news of great joy. And Christmas teaches us there is still good news available to those who have never turned in faith for salvation to Jesus Christ. Christ has come, the Savior was born, he went on to die for our sins and to rise again. And so fear is dispelled when you understand that God came to save. Even though in politics they thrive on creating, cultivating fear in us, we do not need to fear. Though you look around you and there are many things that could cause you to fear, the Lord shows us we don't need to fear because amidst all of this bad news of great despair, there's actually good news of great joy. You see, the reason that they didn't need to fear because, what, the content of the message. A Savior was born that day. Love came down in the form of a baby. Salvation arrived, and it was gift wrap in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. He who arrived was Savior and Lord. He was the promised Messiah. And so we see this wasn't the birth of just a typical ordinary baby on a typical ordinary day. This was the birth of the Messiah, the one who was beyond compare. And so we see it is truly good news of great joy. A Savior being born meant deliverance. which leads to great joy and peace, because Jesus went on to live that perfect life that we couldn't live. He died for our sins so that we could be forgiven and given eternal life. He rose again. He conquered sin and death. The joy comes with the truth that I am no longer guilty in the sight of God because of Jesus. The joy comes knowing that because we trust in Christ, we don't have to face condemnation, but we are set free from the penalty that we deserve. We can approach God because God approached us in Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. No more separation because He drew near to save. Right? And He gave us this precious gift. Guilty and condemnation are replaced with forgiven and free. That is the good news of great joy that was brought. And this news, of course, brings peace on earth because we can have peace with God. Those who trust in Jesus Christ can have peace with God. The relationship is restored. It is reconciled. There is no longer any hostility or separation, but we can have this relationship with God that is restored because of what Jesus did. He bridged the gap. That's the gift. I think sometimes you give your child a gift on Christmas, and maybe for you, maybe as a parent, you've experienced this, but you give them a gift on Christmas, and it is broken by the end of the day. Anyone ever have that? Or even as adults, right, you get something and sometimes it's broken a week later, or it wears out eventually, gets old. But Jesus' birth is the gift that keeps giving. Because it gives us eternal joy, everlasting peace with God. What a gift. It wasn't a gift bought at the dollar store. It wasn't even a gift bought at the most expensive store in the world. The Lord gifted Himself to us. And if you think about it, our culture is, of course, consumed with giving and receiving gifts. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should give and receive gifts. Everyone is out purchasing gifts, and the commercials on our TV, ads on the internet, we're bombarded with it. And of course, we should and give gifts, but if the gifts of this world at Christmas are the only gifts that matter to us, then we are most to be pitied. The gifts of this world are temporary, but Jesus Christ, given at Christmas, is a gift that eternally matters. All other gifts pale in comparison. And so this is why we can have joy and peace no matter what circumstance we face this Christmas. Even though you don't get any gifts from others, you have received the best gift of all in Jesus. Even though every other person says they care about you but they don't show it, guess what? God has shown it by giving you Christ. Even though you may feel alone on Christmas or even after Christmas, you can remember that Christ came and His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, God gave us the best gift. God gave us a much needed gift, right? A Savior out of love. But what should be our response? Joyful praise. Joyful praise should be our response. I think about whenever we give a gift, we like to see the response of the person that we give it to. We often look at their facial expressions and hear what they say. And if they say, well, now there's a gift, right? That's probably not a good sign. Or if they say, you shouldn't have. No, really, you shouldn't have, right? That's probably a bad sign. The truth is, we want to know if they like the gift. We look at the response. Well, look at the shepherd's response after hearing this good news of this gift of Jesus. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And so the first thing that we see is that the shepherd, what do? They trust the news, don't they? They trust the news that was given to us, to them. They don't have doubts about it, but notice what did they say? Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Remember, when they are told this, they hadn't seen it yet, but they're saying, let's go see that what has happened. They are believing the word that was just given to them. They wanted to see it in person. You know, when someone tells you that they had a baby, you don't doubt it and say, I don't know, right? You want to go see it. You believe and you say, okay, I want to go see the baby. That's what the shepherds do. They're trusting that the Savior was born. They trust the news. And it makes me wonder, do we trust the news that Jesus was born in Bethlehem? Of course, we cannot go to Bethlehem now and see the baby because, of course, he grew up and died and ascended, rose again and ascended into heaven, of course. But we are called to trust the news, just like the shepherds did. The shepherds didn't even see the baby yet, but they're trusting the news. But we see they not only trust the news, but what also? They shared the news. They go and see the baby, but what do? They tell people what was told them about this child. It was just too good to keep to themselves, right? They couldn't help but tell others. And this led other people to wonder and amazement. Are you willing to share the news of Jesus' birth? God has made it known to us likewise through his word, through scripture, but do we excitedly tell it to others? Of course, some people may reject the news, but others are led to wonder and to ponder it in their hearts. Our job is to simply, like the shepherds, we're going to share the news. This is what was told us about Jesus' birth. I'm just going to share it. I'm excited and I want to share it. We tell others about Christ during Christmas season to reorient their hearts back to the real reason we celebrate, but we do it throughout the year. We point people to Jesus. We share the news of what Jesus, who he is, and what he has done. And so for many of us, we know the message of Christmas, and we know we should be telling others about the news, but how do we get motivated to do so? Well, think about for the shepherds. They were captivated by the news, weren't they? It was exciting. They were captivated. They believed it. Which led to proclaiming it. And so we need to be captivated by this news of what Jesus has done. And when that happens, when our hearts are thrilled with this, excited and captivated by it, we can't help but proclaim it. Can't help but share this news, this life-changing news with others. And so we see the shepherds also do one more thing. They go back to their fields, but what does it say? As they go back, they are glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. For what God has done, they glorify and praise the Lord. God told them that a Savior was born, and they found him as God described. The Lord came through, and he deserved the glory for sending this gift. Think about it this way. Whoever gives the gift deserves the credit, right? We don't take credit for giving someone else's gift, right? We don't say, oh, yeah, I did that, when we didn't do it. The person who gives the gift deserves the credit. And so we think, who deserves the credit of Jesus' birth? God. Out of love, he sent. He is the giver. And so that's why even the angels are praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest. He is worthy to be praised. So this is why when we do celebrate Christmas, our focus should not be drawn away from the incarnation. Because God deserves the glory. He deserves the praise and he deserves the honor for what was done. We don't neglect and forget about what he has done, but we are continually celebrating and remembering and glorifying God for what he has done. think about Christmas time, it's actually the reason for the season, of course, is Christ coming, but it's easy to get distracted by everything else, right? We're so busy with shopping and going here, going there, and activities and events, and we so often glory in such smaller, unworthy, and trivial things. We're focused on presents and shopping and decorations and food and memories and things like that, or sadly many are fixed on Santa Claus. But celebrating Christmas should mean we are saying along with the angels, glory to God in the highest. We're praising along with the shepherds and glorifying God along with the shepherds. So as we think about the response of the shepherds, they show us this clear response that we should be having to the birth of Christ. We're trusting the news, we're sharing the news, we're glorifying God for the news. That's what we're called to do. But as you think about your life, is joyful praise your response to the news of Christ's birth? Joyful praise. Trusting it. Sharing it. Glorifying God for it. Will you continue this day in joyful praise to the Lord? So as you can see, because the Savior came down, our praise goes up. Not working today. Because the Savior came down, our praise goes up. That's what we celebrate and remember during Christmas. You know what? It is easier to do this on a day like this, isn't it? I mean, it's Christmas Day, and so often we're thinking about Christ more often. But what about when it's all over? What about tomorrow? What about a couple days from now, a week from now, a couple weeks from now, a month, 3 months? You can go on. What about then? In 2015, the National Alliance on Mental Health did a study that 64% of people experience holiday blues. And I'm sure it's higher now because of with COVID and everything. But something that affects many people even more is not just the holiday blues during the holidays, but it's the blues afterwards, isn't it? There's this letdown after Christmas, or maybe it's for you, it's after New Year's. And there's sadness when it's all over because your family visitors are gone, the decorations are down, the good food is gone, the thrill of those presents that you got kind of starts to wear off a little bit. And now you are back to the grind of normal life, aren't you? And the truth is, if Christmas is all about family and food and presents, then it will always be a disappointment afterwards. But if it's about our Savior, if it's about what He gives, then you won't disappoint because we have hope, we have joy, we have peace. We can remember the greatest gift given to us. And so the way we battle that letdown of Christmas being over is we continue celebrating. We continue praising our God, reflecting upon what He has done and what He continues to do in our lives. We remember love has come down for us. We dwell upon the gift of our Savior and what His coming and work accomplished. We remember the joy and the peace we have in and because of Jesus. The most important eternal matters have been dealt with in Christ. That is how we have continued joy and peace when all of the holidays are over and it is a normal day in the middle of the winter. You're stuck inside with nothing going on. That is how we can still have joy and peace, is because of Christ. Because we can be content in Him. We can be remembered of the precious gift that never wears out, but eternally matters, and Jesus Christ and what He continues to give us day by day. That peace that we can have amidst no matter what circumstances we are facing as we go through the year. When we trust in Christ, our hope is secure. Because we have forgiveness and eternal life, and that means even if we lost everything, we still have everything because we have Christ. We still have everything because we have Christ. I remember my little brother was in this play growing up, and he was like the main character or whatever. And it was like this family, Christmas Eve, and all of their gifts were stolen. I don't know if this is a famous play or something. I just remember this. But and the family woke up, and of course the kids were disappointed. Their gifts were gone. And of course the message was, hey, we still have the greatest gift. We still have Christ. And so for you, no matter what you lose, no matter what you don't have, we can still be content. Right? We can still be content no matter what, because we have that forgiveness, that hope of heaven. We have the joy of salvation. We have God, our Maker. We have everything we need because of Christmas, because Christ came, and because He lived, and because He died, and because He rose and ascended. We have all that we need. And so, though the joy of the holidays wears out, don't let this joy wear out, because it is the gift that keeps giving all throughout the year. And so as you continue this Christmas day, remember that our Savior came down. Hope and life and salvation and peace and joy came for us. And so praise Him and continually say in your heart, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful as we celebrate today what You have done out of love by sending down Christ, and how He humbled Himself, being a servant and even going to die for us. I pray that we would have that same mindset among us, that we would humble ourselves and be servants of others, and that we'd always remember the joy and peace of the good news of Jesus that You have given to us. Help us, especially even as the days go on after Christmas, Lord. You know, those are some of the tougher days, especially for those who are alone. For those who are missing loved ones, it is extra hard. And I pray that they would remember what they have because of Christ, but they still have everything. We praise You and thank You in Christ's name. Amen.